Hello and welcome to the Thursday, November 29th, 2012 edition of the Sands and Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am today recording from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. McAfee today released a special extra.dat file to supplement its normal signatures to detect a new autorun worm that McAfee says is causing a lot of pain in some networks. The malware does not appear to exploit a new vulnerability, but according to McAfee's write-up, relies on the user actually starting it or an autoconf.inf file that will start it if the directory is opened, and of course this feature is enabled on your system. Once running, it will spread via shared drives. So the reason that this McAfee note is actually caused quite a bit of concern among our readers is that it didn't follow its normal format. So readers were somewhat concerned whether or not this notice was legit or whether the notice itself was exploit, kind of like some of the fake antivirus that we have seen recently. But as far as we can tell, the notice is genuine and it links to a valid extra.dat file and to a valid McAfee knowledge base article. I would expect that by the time you're listening to this podcast, McAfee already made this particular signature part of its regular set of signatures, so you probably no longer have to apply this special file. And in other news, Brian Krebs found another exploit for sale. This time it is a Java exploit. And unlike the cross-site scripting exploit in Yahoo Mail that he wrote about earlier this week, which was for sale for the low price of $500 or $700, this new one is asking for 5 digits. So I guess anywhere between $10,000 and $100,000, which is actually somewhat realistic for a zero-day Java exploit if it turns out to be genuine, but there isn't really a lot of detail here. Now, the posting that Brian mentions here does list the exploited component. It's an audio input-output component. However, there is, of course, not enough detail here for someone else to verify that the vulnerability is real, short of paying up and buying the exploit. And Heise Security in Germany is reporting about a rather obvious and blatant attempt to phish customers of Deutsche Bank in Germany. Deutsche Bank in Germany is using one-time passwords that are paper-based. It's actually quite common in Germany where your bank will send you a sheet of one-time passwords, and each time you transfer money, you cross out one of these numbers, and once the sheet is empty, you will receive a new one from your bank. Now, we have seen phishing attempts in the past where they ask you just for one of two of these numbers. In this latest attempt, the email claims to come from Deutsche Bank and then says, in order to verify the identity of the user, you're not just entering one or two of these numbers. No, you're just going to take a picture of the entire sheet of numbers and then send it in to the bank via this website, which of course is a fake and a phishing website. These paper-based TANs or transaction numbers are of course quite easy and cheap to produce. That's why they're so popular. But this is exactly one of the problems with these numbers, or in general with paper-based one-time password schemes, that someone is able to copy them with a token, with a one-time password token. That's usually not as easily possible, unless of course it's a soft token, in which case malware on the device running the token would be able to copy the entire token, including configuration files. And Acunetics is reporting about an interesting new proof of concept to exploit cross-site request forging vulnerabilities in routers. Now, these vulnerabilities and the exploits aren't really all that new. Essentially, what you do is you load an image, and then the GET request created by loading the image will actually point to your router and change its configuration. Now, in this case, the new and different part is that they're actually using an email with image tags, and then they're using the URL feature that allows you to pass the username and password for basic authentication within the URL. Of course, this requires that you do use either no password or the default password. So the quick workaround is don't use the default password. Probably also a good idea not to use the default IP address scheme, because that's also required in order for the exploit to use. But what you really should do is turn off automatic loading of images. So if you receive a suspect email, the images are not loaded automatically. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.